Give it up for Lindsay. Give it up for everybody you saw so far. Do I look okay? I feel like I don't. My Uber driver said, "Do you know who you look like?" And then he couldn't think of who it was. That's not a cool thing to do to somebody. So then, like, after a while, he just started slowly describing Kelsey Grammer. I didn't know what he was telling. He's like, he was Beast in X-Men. And I was like, fuck yeah, go on. He was like, cheers. And I was like, okay, I feel old, but undeniably talented. Here's what I was worried he's going to say. Over the past, like, year and a half or so, I feel like when I'm on stage, you guys think that I was there storming the Capitol. Like, that's a thing. Like, I think that you guys think that you guys are like, I heard somebody smeared shit on a wall. That guy looks like he probably did that. Like, I know I have resting January 6th face. It's just a thing that I know about myself. But I wasn't there. I didn't agree with any of that. I saw it on TV and I was like, I don't want them to do that. That's my alibi. Wasn't there smearing shit on walls. My hair is going gray fucking fast, you guys. It's going gray fast. I feel old on stage. All my shows, everybody's younger than me. Like, this is what it's like for me. My first year in comedy, this old man went up on stage. I was 22 years old. It was all college kids. And he looked at the kids and he goes, I think I know where Bin Laden's hiding. In you kids' baggy pants. That's what he said. That's what he said to college kids. Everything I say now feels like that's what I'm saying. I feel like I'm about to look in your baggy pants. 42, if you're trying to do the math in your head. 42. I started going to the gym. Don't look at me and be like, no, you didn't. I did. I started going. And then I stopped going. But I started going to the gym. I go by myself because nobody will go with me. Not one person that I asked. Most of my friends are comedians. Here's an excuse more than zero people have given me to not go to the gym. More than zero. They've gone, I don't want to get too big. Fucking clothes explode off of you. If he'd be like, more than zero, I think two people said, I don't get too big. Like, okay. If you were like, no, I'm lazy, I would fucking accept that. That's a good excuse. No one understands that more than me. Don't tell me you're going to be too good at the thing you've never tried before. I won't believe you. You want to take tennis lessons? Nah, I don't want to win Wimbledon. Plus, I'm too big. Too big. That's not what happens. Takes a while, I guess. Anyway. I moved during the pandemic. I miss one guy. There's one neighbor I miss. I talked to him twice ever, and I miss him. The first time I talked to him, I was wearing this Seattle Mariners throwback baseball cap that I saw. This hat was sick. And I bought this hat because growing up, my favorite baseball player was Ken Griffey Jr. That was the name of my favorite baseball player from the 90s. Some of you are very cool. He had a rookie card with this very specific Mariners hat, and I saw it, and I was like, fuck yeah, like the Ken Griffey Jr. hat. And I bought it. And this guy sees me wearing this cool hat. And he goes, are you from Seattle? I'm from Seattle. I go, no. Then I explain the whole Ken Griffey Jr. hat thing to him that I just explained to you. And he goes, that's my fucking guy right there. And I was like, hell yeah, buddy. And he goes, no, he and I are good friends. And I go, I want to meet him. Like that. And he goes, "You probably will." And he went inside of his house. I was like, "What the fuck just happened to me?" I was just sitting out here with this hat. Now I'm about to become... So I texted every guy I knew growing up my age. I was like, "Guess who's about to become best friends with Ken Griffey Jr.? Suck my dick, Sen." That's what I did to every guy that I knew. The second time I talked to the same guy, I was wearing the cool hat. I was outside again. And two military helicopters went over my apartment. And the same guy started running towards me. And he goes, "Trump's instituting martial law! I read all about it on Facebook!" And that was the moment that I knew I am never meeting Ken Griffey Jr. I don't believe this guy knows him. Texted everybody, like, "Don't suck my dick. I'm not going to." I failed you. That's the neighbor, by the way. Oh, I just remembered. Did you guys, like, at 8 o'clock in your neighborhood bang pots and pans for the healthcare workers? Did you know what I'm talking about? Some of you know. Okay, in Silver Lake, we did this. Haha, Silver Lake. At 8 o'clock every night, people banged pots and pans and yelled out the windows for the healthcare workers. Because, like, it sucked to be a healthcare worker. They were in, like, garbage bags and catcher's masks. Like, nobody had anything. So we were, like, yay, cheering for them. No one knows what I'm talking about? Okay. Yeah. Okay, you do know. Okay. No one told me this was about to happen. So when it started, like, I got my hopes up so high. I thought Trump had, like... So I ran outside hearing people cheering. And I ran out and I go, "Did he die?" Like, I was so excited. Too excited. So those are the people that I missed. That's the guy I missed. The guy I hated lived right below me. And we had one of those, like, "It's too loud," like, downstairs neighbors, like, for nothing. He banged on my door. I have a witness who's here for this. He banged on my door. I have two witnesses. One's here. And he goes, "Your air conditioner is really loud." That's what he said to me. And I was like, "Well, I'm not turning it off." And he goes, "No, our walls are really thin." It's like, boom, he started making, like, fucking air conditioners. It's like, boom. I was like, "Okay, sucks to be you then." I didn't know. And I thought about it. This is disgusting what I'm about to tell you. Our walls are thin. And I was like, "I've heard that guy come before." I didn't want to hear him come, but I had heard him come before. Our walls are thin. I kind of wanted to go back down to his door and be like, "I think I heard your air conditioner." And then just, like, make his, like, It's like, you're just like, it's like loud. It's like, it's like, it's like, sounds broken, like my kids. I'm wondering how long I can make that noise is what I'm wondering. It's like, okay. Three more. Just that same dude who did the noises that you're enjoying banged on our ceiling as we moved out. Like, we were, have you heard of this in your life? Like, bang, like, leave different. Like, he was mad. And that joke is called Him Coming and Me Going. I decided you could just name jokes. Really doing innovative stuff up here. Like, the sex noise is not innovative. Then naming it, innovative. What a weird transition into the thing that I'm about. I just looked at my set list. This is, okay. I saw David Hogg on TV. And I was like, "Who's David Hogg?" And I had to Google it. David Hogg was in one of the school shootings. And I was like, oh. And it made me feel fucking crazy. Because that was a sad thing. I don't want you to get bummed out. But the funny part is coming. My first thought when I saw that high school was fucked up, because I was like, all these kids were on TV from the high school, like on CNN, looking like beautiful and articulate. And I was like, man, my high school would not have been ready for this. That was my first thought. Think about your high school. Were they ready to go on CNN the next day? Mine was not. My high school had a daycare and not for the teachers. We were pure shit. Like, we would have been out there wearing JNCOs with, like, a bowl cut, being like, guns are gay. Like, nobody... nobody would have accused us of being crisis actors, I know that. I'm like, those are real high school kids. JNCOs were a thing. plus, when I was in high school, you couldn't buy an assault weapon because they were illegal. That's a fun thing about the 90s that existed. Also, here's another thing we couldn't buy, because I tried. You couldn't go to a grocery store and buy 40 rolls of toilet paper and 30 cartons of eggs either. You couldn't go, they would not sell that to you. Because they knew what you were going to do with it, and there wasn't somebody on TV like, I'm a lobbyist, and it's their God-given right to make 40 omelets and then wipe their ass a bunch. I don't get that. I'm too stupid to get this stuff, I think. I'm too stupid. I found out that there were single-issue voters. That's a thing that I learned about. I was like, you have no other opinion? No other opinion. How's it going, man? It's going guns. I'm dumb. Don't care about nothing. That's my only opinion. I had... Someone's about to die, but... Okay. I had never read the Second Amendment before. Too dumb. I don't know. It's too dumb to read it. And then, like, everybody's arguing about it on Facebook, and so I was like, I should probably read that at some point. Everything I saw for the Second Amendment said, dot, 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 the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And I was like, that's the one that says you can have guns, the dot, dot, dot one. Here's the thing. Those dots mean something comes before it. I was like, you can't get that one past me. So I read it, and it kind of fucks up the whole thing. You can't just do that. Like, to me, okay... So here's what I want. I want a billionaire, like a really cool billionaire, like Elon Musk. I wanted to see where we're like 12 minutes in. I wanted to see if I could pretend to like Elon Musk this deep into the set. Like Elon, somebody cool like Elon Musk. You guys would be like, wait, what? I like him because like I had the same upbringing as he did. Like his dad and my dad both ran emerald mines in South Africa. We both had that. We both had emerald mine owning fathers, so I kind of get him. I want Elon Musk to buy a nuclear submarine, and I want them to be like, you can't fucking have that. I want him to be like, Article 1, Section 8, motherfucker. Dot, 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 maintain a navy. Nothing comes before it. You can just say... It's going guns. Oh, I read an interview with Joe Biden from 1974. Turns out we want him senile. It kind of like, he had bad ideas even when he was alive. Even Joe Biden, bad when alive as well. Some would argue worse while alive. It's okay to make fun of Biden, I decided. We'll see about the thing I say right now. Okay. I went on a trip for the 4th of July with my wife. They showed clips of the LA riots in 92. I didn't live here in 92. So I was like, oh my God, that's like terrifying. They showed like the Reginald Denny getting hit with the brick. I was like, oh my God. And then they showed like the store owners shooting at the people. And I was like, Jesus. And then it zoomed out from a helicopter and it showed $1 gas. And I was like, those were the good old days. We You take a brick to the face for $1 gas. Oh. I'm too dumb to talk about politics. I don't know anything about it. People like are talking about a third party now, talking about Andrew Yang third party, talking about all kinds of stuff. Like, it should be, I think there should be two parties. This is what I think. There should be a party called Fuck You, Rich People. There should be that party. That would be a good party to have. And then there should be another party called No, Fuck You, Poor People. And that's it. Those are the two parties. Why would there be any other party besides that? Those are the two. And that way, like, people can say stuff like, well, I'm socially fuck you rich people, but I'm fiscally fuck you poor people. I think I hate Los Angeles. I think I do. Not anybody in particular, but someone that's here right now, I just realized, is in this joke that I'm about to tell you. I mean, they're not here. When I first moved here, oh my God, Mark. This is about you. This is about you. Okay, so when I first moved here, it wasn't Mark, it was a different person. So somebody goes, you should write a script. And I was like, okay, what happens then? And they're like, we send it all over town. And I was like, then what happens? And they're like, nothing. It'll sit on a stack on an assistant's desk. And I was like, why are we doing this? He's like, it's L.A., baby. You never know. You never know. So I wrote a script, and the agent was like, this is good. And I was like, we send it out all over town? He's like, yeah. And then he was right. Nothing happened. Not one thing happened. But then, a little bit later, I was walking into my apartment, and my upstairs neighbor, different neighbor than I talked about before, he goes, are you Mike Bridenstine? And I was like, maybe. Why? And he's like, oh my God, I'm friends with this girl that works at DreamWorks. She told me that today, your script saved her life. I go, I am Mike Bridenstine. What is happening? Here's the immediate scenario that's in my head. As soon as he says DreamWorks and saved her life, Steven Spielberg, heard of him? He has said to this girl, if you don't find the perfect script by the end of today, we will kill you. I don't know how Hollywood works. I mean, like, you know. So she's like, fuck. And she sits at her desk with a stack of scripts. And she's like, it's going to be hot because I have to find it. She opens up a window and a big gust of wind comes in and it knocks off all of the scripts except for some fucking reason, mine stays there. Then the sun comes through the clouds and it hits the headpiece to the staff of Ra from Spielberg's famous movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark. It hits that, and it bounces off of it onto my... It fucking lights this shit up. And now she's like, oh! She's like, well, what's this? She fucking sits there and reads my script, and she's like, this is good. And so she marches confidently to Spielberg's office. She walks right up to the door. She's like, bam! She comes in there. The door fucking flies open. And everyone's like, what the fuck? And Spielberg looks at her in the face and he goes, gentlemen, I need the room. They're all men in the scenario in my head. And they sit there and read my script from start to finish. And Steven Spielberg says to this girl, you might not just have saved your job in life. You might have saved DreamWorks itself. So that's the scenario in my head immediately. The rest of this story is very real. So I walk upstairs and I say, I'm Mike Bridenstine, to this girl. And she's like, oh my God, today your script saved my life. And I was like, here we fucking go. I'm calling Mark. We're doing this. We're making the Spielberg thing. Let's fucking do this. And she goes, oh my God. So I was sitting at my desk. There was this big spider on my desk. And I reached to the stack of scripts. This actually happened to me. And she goes, I fucking killed it with the stack of scripts. I didn't know who's killed it till I saw your name in the trash. Follow your dreams is the point of that story. Why are you bummed? You're like, actually, the moral is I'm a famous man. You all know that I'm not, so. Okay. And that script was Schindler's List. Like, that was you? That was me. What year did that come out? I don't know. That whole thing was my script. One coat should be red, I said. I think a lot of scripts fucking suck. I'll be honest. Like, okay, I never got into Harry Potter. Never got into it. I watched the first movie and I was like, why do they celebrate Christmas at Hogwarts? I just don't see how they'd be impressed. You know what I mean? Like, water into wine. Okay, like, unless... unless he's sandbagging in the Bible. Jesus Christ! C student at Hogwarts. That's what I'm... That's my... Maybe because his mom was a mudblood? I don't know. I've never read... I've never read either book, is my point. I like ruining like movies that everybody likes. Here's one. The original Star Wars. The 1977 original Star Wars. It's dumb. Don't go back and watch it. It's like my entire childhood is based on this movie. And I watched it, I was like, what? Okay. So, if you don't remember or haven't seen it, this is not that big of a spoiler. There's a character named Obi-Wan Kenobi. This bothers me. If you don't know what happens, all of the bad guys want to kill this guy named Obi-Wan Kenobi. So he goes in to disguise... And he completely changes his name from Obi-Wan Kenobi to Ben Kenobi. Obi-Wan Kenobi, Ben Kenobi. Like, but he went into disguise, right? Same Jedi beard, same Jedi clothes. Obi-Wan Kenobi, Ben Kenobi. He shouldn't have lasted 10 seconds on Tatooine. But I want this to work in real life. Like, SEAL Team 6 is ready to go get Osama bin Laden. They're like, go, go, go! Hold! Guys, turns out it's just old Ben bin Laden. Someone is stewing like, but he could just do the thing. Shut up. He could just be like, I'm not the Ben you're looking for. It doesn't matter to me. This joke works. The Godfather. Let's talk about The Godfather. You know how people are... Okay. If you think I'm making this next part up, you will hate me. So just bear with me. This is real also. You can Google it afterwards. You know how people are like, the book was better when they... Okay. No one has ever said that about the movie The Godfather. You're like, yeah, but that's the greatest movie of all time. No, hold on. I have a theory. This is something that I found out, and it horrified me. There's a character in the book, The Godfather, who's not in the movie, who has like a whole CD storyline, and her name is Lucy Mancini. And the whole entire point of Lucy Mancini in the book, The Godfather, is that she has, everybody say it with me, a really big vagina. Again, I know that you don't want to hear that come out of my mouth. She has a really big vagina. And that, and her name is Lucy fucking Yuck. Okay. That's the whole point of her. So while all the Godfather stuff that you've heard of before, like, make them enough on camera views, she's like, oh no. Dudes hate my too big vagina. No one has said that Mario Puzo wrote this and people were like, this is a best-selling book. Like, okay, she goes to Las Vegas. I'm still telling you the truth. This is not made up. She goes to Las Vegas. By the way, Nick Vatterack gave me the punchline. That's a plot hole is what that is. I saw him sitting back there and I forgot to tell you that. Okay. She goes to Las Vegas, Lucy Mancini with a big vagina. And she goes, she gets a plastic surgeon, and she says to the plastic surgeon, I'll eventually stop talking about this. I know this, you wanted like one of the females earlier to talk about this, but like, okay, I can't just like deal with this without telling you. So she goes, are you sure, doc? Are you sure this is going to fix my way too big vagina that dudes hate? And the doctor gets on his knee with an engagement ring. and goes, "This is how sure of my work I am." Okay. This is... You're horrified, right? Okay. So this is the scenario that immediately played in my head for this one. So this is a best-selling book. Like, I don't know how many people read best-selling books. At least 100 people read this fucking book. Thousands of people read this book. How many people? I don't know. And then they went and saw the movie across the country, right? And so most people, when they saw The Godfather, walked out of the movie theater and were like, "That is the best fucking movie I've ever seen in my life." But across the country, that means that at least 40 people walked out of the greatest movie of all time when their friend goes, "How awesome was that movie?" And 40 people had to have said, "It was good." But where's Lucy Mancini? Vagina. I'm glad you made it through that. That was pretend my face doesn't look like this. This one is equally terrible, and we're gonna deal with it together. So this is a thing. You ever just remember something that you said? You're like, "Oh my god." Okay, here's one of those. I was driving. I said this on a podcast, and I was like, "I'm definitely getting in trouble for saying this." So I was driving to Solvang with my wife, Borat voice. I was driving with her, and I was like, "I think Neverland Ranch is around here, where Michael Jackson lives." And so we went to go look for this thing. It took us like 3 fucking hours to find this fucking place from LA. It's in the middle of nowhere. And I turned to my wife, and I said, "Man, those kids must have really wanted to fuck." Like, that was it's a terrible thing that I said. But it's not like, besides the molestation, the commute. Do you know what I mean? $7 gas? Like, the other terrible thing. Okay. This doesn't have to do with the first thing, but do you know the comedian Chris D'Elia? Totally has nothing to do with the fight. If you don't, this will make no sense to you. They cut it right out of the smash. So in 2009, I just remembered this happening when everybody got mad at him because he did a bad thing. And I just, so you'll need to know this for later. So I'm just standing behind him backstage, and he's getting introduced to the stage, and he doesn't know I'm standing there, so he's talking to himself, and no one is in the crowd is making a noise as he's getting introduced. And he goes, "They don't even care. They don't even fucking care." And then he starts pumping his chest. And he goes, "But Daddy does." And he went up on stage. When all that shit went down with him, that just like popped into my head. And I was sitting on that one for like since 2009. I've like had this like hidden in my head. So then I thought of another memory that I just remembered out of nowhere. Like, I got mad about something that happened to me in 8th grade. Is this a thing that you can relate to? Does this make sense? You ever be like, "Fuck you," like an 8th grader? Okay. So my family went on vacation to the Mall of America. So, pretty rich family. You know who you're dealing with. We had Mall of America money. So we went there, and my sister looks at me, and she goes, "I think we're getting the hotel room for free." And I was like, "Why?" She goes, "Because of what Mom found." And she looked at me like I did something. And I was like, "What?" No one would tell me what the fuck was going on. Whatever this thing is, my mother has got it wrapped in a towel. And she's like scurrying to the front desk to go be like, "This was in our room. We need our room for free." So like we all go down. I'm like, "What is happening?" And so I watch my mom like look at the guy at the front desk. She's like, "This thing is..." And then she peeks whatever this thing is at the guy. He like recoils from this. And then he just kind of puts his hand down and he says, points at me and he goes, "How do you know it's not his?" And then everyone slowly turns to me and like eyes me up and down, takes a minute and be like, I'm like, "What is it?" So here's what it is. So since you're dying to know, this was a stack of Asian porn magazines. Someone had left like a stack of like 12 Asian porn magazines. Here's what I'm mad about. I was 14 years old. I hadn't even kissed a girl yet. If I go over a speed bump wrong on the bus, boner for an hour. The dudes know what I'm talking about. Just can't, like... I haven't found anything that doesn't work for me. I don't really really have an Asians only fetish yet. Other types of women, what am I, 12? Give me the fucking... I'm looking for an eyedropper. I have a fire hose at this point. The guy before didn't even want him, and then I was going to go, but daddy does. But I know that... I feel like you could just tell people what the callback was going to be, and we all got there together. Imagine if I'd acted that out. Oh, man. Has anybody here done jury duty before? Have you done it before? You have? Okay. Never. Who has a long one? Who was on a jury duty for a long time? Nobody. Not one person. Who's clapping? Jeannie, you were? How long were you on jury duty?
2 weeks.
2 weeks? It's pretty long.
Yeah.
Were people like, can we just get out of it?
Yeah, it was criminal, and people would want to go.
Yeah. I was on jury duty from June 1st, like this just past June 1st, until July 18th. I was there that whole fucking time. And like, I was on the OJ floor of that building. The Nipsey Hussle thing came and went. Like, I saw the whole thing happen. And everybody's like, what? I thought it was so easy to get out of jury duty. Like, people were like, just tell them you're racist. It's not a fucking job interview, man. Like, if I walk into a job interview and like, I'm racist. Yeah, you get sent home. But not they would take any warm body. Like, they would take, one of them is here, like, also for my jury duty. They take fucking anybody. The only thing the judge cared about is that you didn't say mm-hmm or mm-mm, because that fucked up his record, and that's the most illegal thing you can ever do in a courtroom, is go mm-hmm for yes or mm-mm for no. That's the only fucking thing that they care about. So people were like, I think all cops, like, this is, so I'm getting ready to give like my speech, which is like, I think all cops are pieces of shit, even though it hadn't worked for like black dudes before me. I was like, maybe they're gonna be like, a white guy, send this crazy motherfucker, like, I don't know, like, so I'm getting ready to give my speech, and I'm like fully mentally prepared. And like two people before me, they say, what do you do for a living? And she goes, I'm a comedy writer. I go, what the fuck? She knew what I'm talking about. Okay. He's like, what have you worked on? And okay, I have to admit to you, her credits, better than mine. So I start getting petty and a little bit jealous. So she's like, what jokes have you written on? She's like, Adam ruins everything. I'm like, I heard they don't even pay. Like, I'm dismissing. She was on NCIS. I was like, me too. Turns out she was on the series. Don't figure out who it is. But like, she's like, I wrote for another, like, what else? He kept like wanting to know her credits. I'm like getting more and more jealous. And then she's like, I wrote one that I don't want to say because there's a swear word in it. And he's like, okay, who's on it? And she's like, okay, Kevin Bacon. And he's like, oh, I still don't know. And she's like, do you just want me to say it? And he's like, yeah. And she goes, it's called I Love Dick. The whole room erupts in fucking laughter. And as soon as the laughs die down, she goes, so now that's on the record. Boom. It's like fucking Def Comedy Jam in the fucking courtroom. People are diving over each other. Like, running around like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. I have to fucking be like, I think all cops are pieces of... No. This is a hot crowd. I have to beat this woman. Fuck no. I did get more laughs than her in the room. She got dismissed, and I was there from June 1st until July 18th. Okay. This next one. Oh, my God. Okay. So, I don't have a lot of high hopes for my jokes. I do want to write one that solves racism. Here's what I think it would do in this joke. The joke would teach white people the problem. They would teach white people that racism is how the wealthy get us to fight with each other instead of focusing on them. That's what the joke would be about. But I know that I have to tell it in a language they speak. I am a white person whisperer. So I think that joke would go a little something like this. If you think white supremacy will pay for your diabetes medication, you might be a redneck. Okay. Somebody might have done something similar like in the 90s, but for like no reason, to sell keychains or something. This has like a good message on it. If you've ever been too drunk to fish, and or the minority that you hate is not a billionaire, but do baba do boo. What if this doesn't? What if this solves our nation's crippling racism problem? Who will be cool then? Fucking me is who. All right. This one's a thinker. If you... In my head, I'm fucking nailing this. What's weird is I got through to like two white dudes while I've been doing this. Like a dude. If you've never heard the LBJ quote, if you can convince the lowest white man he's better than the best colored man, then he won't notice your pick in his pocket. And if you are racist, but you've got empty pockets, redneck. Okay. Where are you mailing me my awards? Could you tell I didn't want to do that? Okay. That was... So, my wife's youngest brother is 18 years old. He lives in Atlanta. And he sent her a text message that said, "Do you like hip-hop?" She's like, "What the fuck is this going to be?" So turns out he's dropping out of college to become a SoundCloud rapper, and he wants to send some of the shit he's been working on. And she's like, "I don't want to fucking listen to this." And I was like, "Oh, I do." I was so excited for these SoundCloud raps. So I get the phone, I get the link, I'm clicked, I'm like, let's fucking go. The internet was slow, it just spun, and then the song came on real fast, and he doesn't sound it, like, he's the kind of, like, DMX kind of voice. That's my DMX impression. Just as good as my folks were, I think. Okay. Topics covered, fucking, he likes to fuck. Topic two, he murders people. And my wife is like, turn this off, and I turn it off. I was like, I don't know what to do right now. And she's like, I'm calling him. And I was like, put it on speakerphone. So she calls him, and she just starts lighting into him. He's like, what'd you think? She's like, you don't respect women. And he actually said, I didn't say anything. That I was like, oh, but he did, though. He did. Like, I'm trying to deal with it. She's like, is this even your life? She's thinking about the murder. She's like, is this even your fucking life? And he goes, well, not in the house. I was like, oh my god, thank you for not murdering anyone in your house and rapping about it. But I wanted to be like cool brother-in-law to this kid. Oh my god. So I had just read an article about the rapper Future and how he got discovered by giving his mixtape to strip club DJs. So I was like, this will be a pretty cool thing to say to him. So that's the information I offered up. I was like, give it to strip club DJs. And no sound was made on the other end of the phone. I was like, give it to strip club DJs. Silence. And I was like, that fucking obvious? Okay. So when she hung up the phone, and she's like, I'm calling my dad. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Their dad, Pentecostal minister in Georgia. This is not going to go well, this phone call. I was like, what are you going to say? She's like, I'm going to say what was in the song. I was like, let's listen to it one more time. And we never have to listen to it again. We listened to like 10 seconds of the song. He covered a lot in 10 seconds. I was like, what if at the end of the song he's like, don't do all that stuff. There's like a positive spin on it. White lines, don't do it. You know what I mean? So she's like, one more time and that is it. So I hit the link again. This time it opened right away. And this time it sounded a lot more like him. And the song was about a Christian music teacher who taught him everything he knew. I don't know what the first song even was, but it wasn't fucking him. When I'm doing this, I opened something else. I'm listening to this song, it's like a Christian song. I'm like, oh my God. So I start like immediately rewinding the whole conversation in my head. I'm like, oh no. Don't respect women? Turns out he just loves the Lord. Not in the house? Yeah, church is not in the house. And I was like, I fucking told this kid to take his Christian music song to the titty bars in Atlanta. Take your Jesus song to the titties. And I have to see this kid at Christmas. You know what I mean? He called back shortly later and said he was staying in school. So I feel like... I feel like I did a good job. I'm saving lives. I talked about conspiracy theories at the top of the thing. I do have a favorite conspiracy theory. And I don't know if any... This is, like, kind of a deep cut. Has anybody heard of the Shakespeare authorship question? Has anybody heard of this before?
Yeah.
Okay. If you don't know what the... Will you say what it... Nick, will you say what it is?
Yeah, basically... Well, basically... Sorry, my throat is just dry from so much laughing.
Did you hear that shit? That's the right response is what that is. Sorry I can't talk. Too much laughing, buddy. That's good. I like it so far.
Yeah, there's various theories on who that someone else other than William Shakespeare wrote all the plays and stuff.
He's already saying it smarter than me. That's right. Give it up for Nick. He's right. Yeah. Yes. So, you know how Shakespeare wrote all that shit? A lot of people are like, he didn't write any of that shit. I went to Wikipedia to look this up, which is where you go. They said a lot of prominent people throughout history like didn't think Shakespeare wrote any of that shit. They were like, Sigmund Freud didn't think so. Mark Twain didn't think so. Helen Keller didn't think so. Like, why don't you wait right there? But apparently it's true. Helen Keller, and just to be clear, the same Helen Keller you're thinking of, apparently thought Shakespeare didn't write any of that shit. I went to more websites. She wrote, Helen Keller, the same one that you're thinking of, wrote an entire book about how Marlowe wrote the works of Shakespeare. And she apparently took it to a publisher who turned it down and I'm assuming looked at her handler, Annie Sullivan, and said, why doesn't she just write about her life? That seems way more interesting than this. That was someone's job. Her name is Annie Sullivan, to work with this blind, deaf, mute girl. Like, that could be your fucking job, and I need you to put yourself in that position for this next thing I'm about to tell you. So you're working with this girl. You're fucking good at your job. You start by writing, like, words in her hand. She gets that shit down. You teach her to read Braille. She gets that shit down. You are crushing it. You put her fingies up to people's lips so she can start to read lips. And you're like, fucking, I am kind of a miracle worker. And then one day, she's like, I think. And you're like, what the fuck? And you call all of your, you're like, everybody, I think Helen's about to say something. She's like, I think. Wait a second, Helen. Everybody get in here now. Go, Helen, tell everybody what you want to say. And she's like, Obama was a secret Muslim who was born in Kenya. I'm not taking the vaccine because of microchips. And Shakespeare didn't write any of that shit. Helen Keller. Fringe conspiracy. She had a tough life, and she also did a lot of other things. Oh my God. I'm going to close by telling you a story about Victory. It's a story about Victory. I played high school baseball. I was very bad at high school baseball. My sophomore year in high school, I was the designated hitter. I batted 190. If you don't know anything about baseball, it's not a good batting average. It's especially bad when it's your only job. So I mostly sat on a dugout bench and had shit talked to me by our bat boy. Our bat boy, his name was Derek. He was 10 years old. And Derek, fun fact about Derek, he refused to go get any of the bats. So no one knows why Derek was there. Wait, we found Derek. I'd known him for 2 years. I hated this kid. I hated his fucking stupid face. I hated him. He talked shit the whole fuck. Okay, so Derek had a speech impediment, which I have to do for you. But when one day I struck out and he's like, "You're terrible." Like, and I was like, "Oh, I fucking hate this kid." Like, "What have you ever done, Derek? What's so great about you? What have you ever done?" And Derek thought about it, what he had done. And Derek goes, "You know that song, Gangsta's Paradise?" The fucking Coolio song from 1995. I go, "Yeah?" And he goes, "I wrote that song." That's what. So I said, "What have you ever done?" And he said, "I wrote that Coolio song." And I lost my goddamn mind on this kid. I was like, "You didn't write that shitty Coolio song. It was a Stevie Wonder song." I thought I was, and then, you know. So I'm going after him, and this kid on my team, he takes me aside, and he said a word to me that you're not going to like, but this is what he said. And so trigger warning for the word. He goes, "Man, leave Derek alone. Derek's retarded," except for he said the word. I go, "What? None of you were gonna tell me this shit? I had been mean to this kid for like 2 fucking years. You just let it happen? The fuck is wrong with you?" If you feel weird about that, just know, I looked him up recently, he wasn't. I saw him on Facebook, he has kids. He goes to their school board meetings. He's very upset about something called critical race theory. That's the kid we're talking about. Later that summer, Derek became my fucking hero, and that is this story before we go. So the varsity coach comes down to watch the sophomore team to scout to see if he wants to bring any of the players up to varsity to play in the district tournament. So everybody wants to play really well for this coach because we all wanted to go up and play varsity. That was like the dream as sophomores. Even me, I was like, maybe he doesn't know 190 bad batting average. So long story short, we blew the game. We lacked hustle. Coaches love hustle. Two things coaches love. One is hustle. Two is calling teenage boys pussies and stuff like that. That's what they, those are the two things they love. Pussies and hustle. So, usually we got screamed at by these coaches and they'd be like, "You guys are fucking pussies." So our coach, like, usually I was like, "Oh, we're going to get yelled at." Like, but he just sits in the dugout. He's spitting dip onto the dugout floor. And he goes, "Go sit in the fucking outfield in the grass and don't say a fucking word. If any of you makes a fucking sound, we're going to be here at 5 a.m. and we're running all day." I was like, holy shit. Because now it is like the end of the world to me. Because before that, if an adult man yelled at me about sports, I would just start laughing. That was a thing that I knew about myself. He's like, "You're fucking put." I would just start laughing. It's like, it doesn't matter. Why do you want me to be good at sports? Like, what are you talking about? Look at me, coach. What? One time I played football. I was also bad at football. And the coach was yelling at us at halftime, calling us pussies and stuff, saying we lacked hustle. And so he's like screaming at us. He's like, "Duh, you guys lack hustle, you pussies." And he goes to slam the door for effect, but it was one of those air pressure doors, so it closed real slow. And I got in a big trouble for laughing at that. So now I want to hold my shit together and not, I'm like, I'm not laughing. I'm not going to do anything. I don't want to be here at 5 in the morning and run. No, this is life and death right now. So we're sitting there, and they start lighting into us, all of the coaches. They're, like, tagging in and screaming at us. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, okay, this is good. And then all of a sudden, in my periphery, I see Derek. Remember Derek from before? So all of a sudden, I see Derek, like, right here. And Derek's arms are crossed. And Derek starts pacing around and mean mugging us like he's more mad at us than the coaches. And I'm like, holy fucking shit, Derek. You need to get out of here. The kid next to me goes, he gives me the elbow and he goes, look at Derek. I'm like, don't fucking do this. Don't do this to me. And they're getting screamed at. He starts like shaking, looking at Derek. I'm like, oh my fuck. He gets like church giggles, I think they're called. I'm like, oh my God. So all of a sudden there's like a lull in the screaming at us. And all of a sudden, Derek steps forward, and in the voice I did earlier, he goes, and another thing! When you do something the wrong way, you gotta do it the right way! I was like, holy fucking shit. One of the coaches just left, just got in his truck and drove home. Like, all the kids are, like, shaking, and, like, I'm like, oh, my God, we're about to fucking break. And all of a sudden, the varsity coach who hasn't said a word the entire fucking time, all of a sudden just steps forward and goes, fuck! Derek's right! We all fucking exploded. He starts laughing. The other coaches start laughing. Puts his arm around. He goes, same time tomorrow. I was like, what the fuck just happened to me? Derek was like my hero. Wikipedia did not exist at this point in the world. But if it had, I would have gone straight home to Coolio's Wikipedia page. And he didn't write that shit, so fucking Derek did. Yeah. Thank you guys very much. Thank you guys so much. Thank you for coming. Get up for Lindsay Allen. Thank you guys.